Welcome to the Bond Brain. And now, without further ado, here's your host, Bud West.
Welcome back to the Bond Brain for the third episode in my series of Bond super skills. Those skills that take a considerable amount of dedication, in many cases, certifications or licensing or recertifications, and in many cases, almost like a video game, leveling. And one of the things that we see Bond do in several films, and the two that always spring to mind to me initially, are Tomorrow Never Dies with Pierce Brosnan and Thunderball with Sean Connery, and that is scuba diving. Bond, we see Roger Moore, scuba diving situation, and they're all throughout the Bond film. I mean, huge in Thunderball, obviously, with the underwater battle, but scuba diving is, for me, not an option, personally. I love the thought of it, the concept of it. Had a lung injury when I was younger. Scuba diving is not even possible for me. It's kind of off the table. But within the realm of the Bond community, we do have someone who has experience and has gone through the certification process. So from YouTube's Always Say Yes to Adventure, please welcome to the Bond Brain, Alex Lamas. Welcome aboard, man. Thanks for coming on board. Good, good, really good. How about you?
Great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So share with us your journey from I've never dove to where you're at now, because some of your videos, Cuba, Bahamas, they're incredible, man.
Wow. I mean, and we could go all the way back to Thunderball. Thunderball was the first Bond film I ever saw. I was probably around, I want to say around 8 years old. And my father showed it to me and just completely blown away by the underwater scenes and the underwater battles. And I was didn't even realize that that was even a possible thing. So I think it was really shortly after that, we went to a family vacation to the Bahamas. My dad being a big fan of that film, we got on a little scooter and drove around and saw all the locations, Palmera, and we had lunch at the Cafe Martinique and, you know, saw the breakers and everything. So this had a huge impression on me. Also, my parents are both certified scuba divers.
Is generational for you.
You know what? It actually goes back even farther than that to my grandfather, who was in the OSS and worked for the CIA. Oh. And he had a whole thing going. This could be a very long.
All right. Future podcast. Alex will be back, folks. And we're going to hear about real spy stuff that he's allowed to do.
Yeah. And his son, my uncle, had a sailboat that he sailed around. And I first started snorkeling with him in Greece and cleaning the underside of the boat and looking at all the Greek treasures under the water. So, you know, this goes pretty far back. However, two things. First, when I didn't learn how to swim until I was a teenager. I grew up in New York City, so not a lot of opportunities for swimming. And, I didn't really learn how to go swim until I went to a summer camp and sort of did it on my own. My mother would take me to swimming lessons here and there, but it didn't really catch. Finally, around 13, 14, I learned how to swim. But I also had two incidences of almost drowning. First, not a serious one. I was a little kid, maybe 6 years old. An adult wanted to force me to learn how to swim, so she threw me into the pool. I sank like a stone. Another more level-headed adult went in there and got me out.
And pulled you out, right?
Yeah. And I was coughing up pool water for God knows how long. So that sort of little trauma sort of embedded in my head. Many years later, I was in Corfu. Santorini. I have family in Greece, so I had visited there many times. And I was swimming out to a boat. Okay, albeit it was late at night. We had a few drinks. Not the smartest idea in the world.
When you have a few drinks, that's when you always, those are always not our best ideas. Yeah.
Around 20 years old at the time. On the way back, the Santorini has sort of a cliff off of its shore. And there's signs all over the place saying severe undertow, be warning. And of course, as I was swimming back, it's like a hand grabbed me and yanked me down underneath the water. I didn't know what happened. All of a sudden, I feel myself being pulled down underneath the ocean. And my first thought is like, nobody knows I'm here. I don't want to die out here. And I just fought my way back to the top. Wow. Finally, I did break out to the top. The guys that I was were with, you know, they said they turned around. I wasn't there for like a minute and they were like looking for me. All of a sudden they saw me break through the water and they ran and got me. And again, I was like coughing up seawater for the rest of the night. Those two incidences sort of triggered, I would say, an aquaphobia. So I was terrified.
Wow, I'm surprised you dive at all after.
Me too.
Yeah. Holy cow, man.
But I've always been the kind of guy that was like, if I'm afraid of something, that's the first thing I'm going to do. I want to just go head in onto that and just conquer that fear. This one was a tough one because the aquaphobia was pretty severe. So that's why I'm 56 right now. So it took a long time for me to really get up the gumption to do something like that. What, you know, for the past decade or so, my wife and I have been taking vacations, and in the spring we will go down to places like Cancun or the Bahamas, and we'll do snorkeling. And so that constant snorkeling got me, you know, acclimated to the idea, because this is something I've always wanted to do, but was, you know, for those reasons I was scared. And I had a trip coming up to Cuba where the guide said, you know, if you want, we can do scuba diving. And I was like, can I swear? I don't know. Oh, shit. I need to do this. I need to do this now. And it just so happened there was a dive center. I live here in Yonkers. There's a dive center in Yonkers, New York. Who knew? And it literally was like a mile from my house. And I went, I'm doing this. I don't care. And I went over there and I went through and I said, I plunked down my money. It's not terribly expensive. I think at the time I was also looking into skydiving, which I had done. And I wanted to, and so I was sort of balancing the, you know, how much the process costs. And it's about under to do a skydive where you get to do it by yourself without tandem. It's a roughly under $2,000 to get there.
Yeah, I've heard it's about $2,000 to get to that point.
Yeah. And to get a certification, it was a bit less. It wasn't really the monetary thing I was thinking of, but it was like, what's going to be more practical? What am I going to do when I go places, and what am I going to use more? And, you know, going to every time we went to a vacation, like the Bahamas or St. Martin, there's always a scuba dive, you know.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, we were just in the Dominican Republic, and they were doing it in the pool to practice before they went offshore. Oh,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, Dominican. I'd love to go there. That sounds nice. I haven't been there yet. And so I was like, you know what? Let me do the scuba. I'll do a skydive, see if I like it, and then let me do the scuba diving. And skydiving was way intense. I don't know if I could do too many of those.
Yeah, that I don't have any desire to do. I also have a medical prohibition against that, so I can't. Okay. There's only two things I can't do, and that happens to be two of them. I've never had any desire to jump out of an airplane. I can snorkel, and I've done that quite often in all through the Caribbean. But the scuba diving always intrigued me. And, you know, but by the time, you know, I got to an age where I had the amount of capital that I could spend on doing something like that and go places that were worth diving. I mean, it's just not, you know, you and I don't live that far apart. Diving off of the East Coast of New Jersey and Delaware, and there's really nothing there. Yeah. But, you know, I see videos that a friend of mine posts. He dives on ruins off of Japan and like kind of stuff. And yeah, just like, you know, your video where you're diving on the shipwreck and stuff like that's the kind of stuff that really, you know, caught my eye. And again, Thunderball being my favorite movie. So I totally get that.
Yeah. So then I go through the process. I go, there's a online learning, which is extensive and took me a good almost a week or two. I I don't remember, but it was long. And you have to pass each test with a certain score. I got decent scores, not hundreds, but respectable. And once you get that done, you go into your confined water dive, and that's in the swimming pool. And the place in Yonkers here has a indoor pool that we do go through all the skills, how to take the mask off, how to switch regulators, how to do a buddy system, how to take your buddy's regulator, put it in your mouth, the whole thing. You have to take your mask on and off underneath the water and learn how to, get rid of the water. You have to take your whole scuba gear out off and on underneath the water and learn how to do that. And all these, it's mostly going through everything that could go wrong, all the safety protocols. And that was fine, although I did not pass my swimming test. I told you, I'm not a strong swimmer. So he was like, well, if you can't do a regular, I forgot what the distance was, but it was 10 laps back and forth on the pool. And I just, I got through half and I was like, I can't do this. So he says, well, if you can do it with a snorkel, you got to do triple the distance. I was like, all right, let me do that. And not only did I do triple the distance, I could have done five times the distance. So easy. So he's like, okay, you're good, no problem. So then I have to do my open water dive. And I decided to go down to Miami, of course, because, they would go to a lake here. And that didn't sound as appetizing. And I have family in Florida. My sister and my mom live down there. And they live right next to a very good dive center. So I signed up with them to do the open water. And they go down near Miami. Even Miami off the East Coast, not spectacular diving. Good, but not great. It's still a little murky. There was a shipwreck down there. We couldn't go too near it, but we could swim around it. But the funny thing was that not only did I have the aquaphobia, but in heavy, not in light water, but in heavy, choppy waves, I get really seasick. And the first, it was a 2-day thing. The first day I was dying. I was so sick because there had been a storm offshore, which caused huge waves to be, even though it was a clear sky, the ocean was pretty rough. And it was almost to the point where they were going to cancel, but they didn't. So once I got into the water and down, I was fine because, there's no waves anymore, but on boat, on the way there, awful. And in between dives, because we did four dives in total for the weekend, so you do two dives a day. On the boat, it was bad.
That can be rough.
It was so bad that the dive masters were taking bets that I would not come back the next day. But I wasn't the only one getting seasick. There was about three others as well that got seasick.
Yeah, there's some people where, my wife, my Bond girl, she, generally doesn't get seasick unless things are really rough. We had a similar situation, one snorkeling trip where she was great when she was in the water, but, back on the boat, on the rope boat ride back was tough. And once on a cruise ship on the edge of a hurricane. So that was a little rough. It never seems to have bothered me. But some people it hits hard, and then some people at different levels. So it sounds like you're kind of the same way. I mean, do you get seasick on just regular seas, or it's got to be rough?
No, it's got to be rough.
So that's not too bad. You're not going to encounter that very often. Because if it gets too rough, like you said, they cancel.
No, I've done plenty of sailing, and every time we do a vacation, we also do a sailboat trip, and I was always fine. The sail cuts through the waves when you do sailing, so it's not bad. It's got to be bad. It's got to be like 7-foot wave, 5-foot to 7-foot waves, and I'm like retching.
Always adds to the adventure. Right?
Oh yeah, but the next day. Like I said, they were taking bets. I was like, this guy's not coming back. But first thing I did when I got back was buy a big bottle of Dramamine. And I took what I didn't do the first day. I took the Dramamine the next day completely fine. The waves were technically worse the next day, but I was absolutely fine with the Dramamine. So Dramamine works well. So we do the second dive, and yeah, everything goes well, except on the second day, on my second dive, my regulator fails. And I have to come up. There's an emergency. And so, unfortunately, I didn't get to finish my second certification. But luckily, I had done all the skills. So the second half of the second dive was really just sort of a luxury dive. It was just for fun. So I did all my skills and I passed. I was very proud of myself having not being a strong swimmer, having that aquaphobia, kind of conquering that fear, mostly. Still, every time I get on a boat, I'm like,
yeah, what the hell am I doing? Right?
Yeah, for a minute. But, you know, went to Cuba. Unbelievable. One of the nice things about Cuba was that because it's under-touristed, the coral reefs there are not too damaged. And I, you know, have the two videos I have is for, of Cuba and the Cuba and the Bahamas, and I'm gonna have a third one soon. But Cuba was just mind blowing. It was so beautiful. The coral, the wildlife, the whole trip. Then I did the Bahamas, and that was interesting because that was with Stewart Cove Dive Bahamas. And Stewart Cove, the man, was the stunt coordinator. I think he was also the stunt double for Roger Moore for Free Your Eyes Only and for Never Say Never Again. They both, that company did the underwater scenes for both those films. And he's done a lot of other Hollywood productions as well. I wanted to interview him. I sent out multiple emails to try to get to him. Unfortunately, never got through. He was there 5 minutes after the boat left with us on it. He left 5 minutes before we came back, so I never got to see or meet him.
Oh man!
Unfortunately, yeah, I totally wanted to interview him for my YouTube channel, but that didn't happen. So, but we dived in wrecks. I went inside a wreck, which was, you know, the first guy that said, "Come on in." I was like, "Yeah, I don't know." But then the second guide was like, no, come on. You know, he kept waving me. And I said, all right, if I don't do this, I'm going to regret it. And yeah, I went inside the wreck and we swam through it. It was very cool. And we swam about, I think it was like three wrecks to dive into that we you know, swam in and around. I wanted to go to the Bond locations, but unfortunately, again, the weather prevented us because they have two Bond locations. You know, they have the what's left of the Vulcan airplane.
Well, yeah, I think there's like bits of a frame down there.
Yeah, it's the frame. You can see the frame, and you can definitely make out the shape of the frame of it. But it looks like monkey. It looks like monkey bars. And the other one was a wreck that was used to say never again. Unfortunately, we didn't get to do that because the weather again, you know, prevented it. But we did these other wrecks, which was very cool. And again, I was like, oh, I dove with the Stewart Company, so I get to say that,
right?
Yeah. So that was cool. And then the most recent one, and this is interesting, so David Zaritsky recently had his Operation Goldeneye, and I assume because of my YouTube channel, Always Say Yes to Adventure, please subscribe. A little plug, sorry.
No, plug all you want, man. Plug all you want. That's what we do for each other in the bond community. We get on each other's shows and we do our own plug and expand our audience a little bit and suck more people into this money sink of a hobby we all have.
Oh, bless you. So, yeah. So he invited me down to Goldeneye and one of the things they have there is they have their own dive shop. And more importantly, the Goldeneye Foundation, which was set up by Chris Blackwell, of course, a famous of
YouTube producer,
Bob Marley and all that, and his own brand of rum.
That's the best part. The rum.
Oh, that stuff is
I couldn't keep it in the house. I made the mistake of, you know, saying to my wife, "Hey, try this," and I think she got about 90% of it. But, yeah.
My wife partook quite a bit down there as well. So they have the GoldenEye Foundation. One of the things that they do is coral restoration. So what's going on now is that 50% of the world's coral is gone, dead. It's what they call coral bleaching. And it is, you know, it's one of the results of global warming, because the waters are getting too cold and a lot of this coral is dying off. 40% of the Earth's oxygen comes from the ocean. So this is an alarming thing. This is crisis mode that we're in. What they're doing is that they're rebuilding the coral down there, and they've rebuilt about half of what they've lost already. And it's a process of where they take existing corals, what they call stag coral, they chop it up into like little pieces. So let's say they'll take a piece and chop it up into like five pieces, hang it from these PVC tubing sort of trees. It looks like an upside down Christmas tree. And new coral will grow from those five pieces, fully fledged new giant stag coral. Then they take that and they replant it back into the seabed with this special epoxy that they use. And so they've replaced literally half of what they lost. So I wanted to go down there, not only participate in helping do the restoration, but also interview the people that are doing this and interview the head of the GoldenEye Foundation, who's spearheading this operation, which was great. That'll appear on my YouTube channel, Always Say Yes to Adventure. And coming soon once I edited it, put it together. And I got to, you know, scuba GoldenEye where Ian Fleming used to snorkel every day, you know, except
off the beach below his house. Yeah,
exactly. In those exact waters. And probably to date, I've done four dives so far, probably to date, the best dive of my life. I couldn't believe the amount of life and fish. And I did have one interesting thing happen to me. So the dive master I was with was a local Jamaican. I think along with guiding me through the coral reef and everything and showing me how to do the coral restoration, he was getting dinner. He had a giant, it wasn't a spear, it was like a big stick with a claw on the end of it. And oh. Yeah, and I watched him, and he's going after this massive lobster, and that was in a hole, and he's fighting this lobster. And so I'm like, oh, this guy's trying to get his dinner.
You know, the truth of the matter is, I know the exact instrument you're talking about. I saw one in a buddy of mine's garage. Yeah. And there's a couple times we rented a house at the beach and our friends came down and he said, "Oh yeah, I was diving yesterday. I got lobsters." I know exactly the device you're talking about, because I saw this thing in his garage and I'm like, what the heck is this thing for? You know?
Yeah. So I have my GoPro with me and I'm trying to get a shot of him doing, you know, fighting a lobster, which I thought would be really cool for the show. And I get, you know, I break one of the diving rules. I get too close to him. You know, you're supposed to keep a certain distance between you and your buddy diver. And of course I don't, because I'm trying to get a good shot, which, you know, rule number one broke. And he sort of moves, doesn't see me, pushes me. All of a sudden I start floating towards the coral. My face starts floating towards a piece of coral jetting out. And I put up my hand to block it. Rule number two I break, I touch the coral. And push myself away from it. I don't think much of it, but I know that touching the coral was a no-no, because you don't want to, you know, disturb any wildlife down there.
Right.
So yeah. I was like, okay, I'll just let it go. I just briefly touched it, and hopefully nothing, no harm, no foul. I looked at the coral that I touched, and it seemed to be okay. I didn't really disturb anything. It was a very light touch. It was just enough to sort of not get my face smashed into it. The dive's over, we're heading on the way back, and all of a sudden my hand starts tingling. starts burning.
Yeah, you got to watch that stuff. They have poisons in some of the.
Yeah, and he tells me, touch the coral. I'm like, accidentally, when you're fighting your. Oh, by the way, he didn't get the lobster. The lobster won.
Oh, man. Yeah. All for nothing.
All for nothing. I know. And so he tells me, when you go back, go to the Golden Eye, go to the restaurant, and they'll pour vinegar in hot water.
Vinegar.
Yeah. And I looked it up, and that is what you're supposed to do. That is the first aid. And so I do that, and they do that, and it goes away, and it's fine. A week and a half later, my hand blows up like a bee sting. And
really?
I get all these, it was a rashes on the hand, and then on my foot, on my left hand and my left foot. And I look it up, and there is such a thing as delayed coral dermatitis. And God, this is disgusting. And it looked gross. I made an appointment with the dermatologist to get some, but I've had been putting bacitracin and Benadryl on it, like bathing in it practically. Luckily, it went away in a couple of days, so no harm, no foul. So I'm good now. But anyway, so I can add that to my list of diseases that I've caught doing a different Ehrlichia, Lyme disease, dysentery.
Oh, geez.
I've done a lot of crazy shit. So,
all right, everyone's finding out way more about Alex than they wanted to know here. Dysentery and
Lyme disease 4 times. Ehrlichia.
Holy cow, man!
Babesia, you name it. Yeah, it's one of the when you do that kind of stuff, it's just occupational hazard. What's left?
Well, that's
a venom. I've gotten spitten by snakes, venomous snake bite, not yet, and a scorpion. Once I'm then I've got it all.
Right. All the wild animal stuff. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Got plenty of spider bites.
But yeah, anyway, couple of spider bites. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty much, that's the story so far.
The journey you make. I love that you picked this up later in life. I love that you picked it up. Because of Bond, because we all have those items that we pick up just because we watched this movie or that movie. And I love the fact that, this was a fearful thing for you, that kind of stuff is inspiring. So thank you very, very, very much for sharing your story on here and letting everybody hear about this.
Inviting me. Yeah. Thank you for inviting me, bud. I appreciate it.
So everyone, do not miss Alex's YouTube channel, Always Say Yes to Adventure. He's got some great stuff out there. It's not just scuba diving. It's hang gliding and you name it. You've actually got, you kind of went from like 0 to 60. You had like one video and then like bang, like biplane ride.
Bobsled run.
Bobsled run. That was pretty cool. Right.
Yeah.
So, he's really taken this to heart and, right.
They got the cocktails and the clothing all, sewn up. So, and I don't, I drink a little bit, but not too much. And I watch those clothing things because I don't really, I needed to dress better. So what's left? Well, trying to get myself killed. That's what I've done all my life. doing crazy things. So that's what I have to contribute.
Yeah. Well, it's better. You got to find your niche. You see a lot of copycat stuff. I try to fix this stuff that's outside that nobody else is really covering, personal stories, brain stuff, neurological stuff. Donnie Waldron, Donnie has, the historical angle and, the firearms videos with Ray Krompholt and so, I think. There's good stuff out there. There's a lot of topics. And if everybody just kind of finds the niche, that really appeals to them, I got a house full of history books. And when Donnie, I had actually met Donnie before he started Quantum History. And when he told me, I'm thinking of doing a podcast from the historical angle of this, I'm like, son of a, how did I not think of that? Like, I literally have a library of 500 history books and I've given away about 3 times that amount. So, I'm like, how did that not ever even cross my mind? But
brilliant.
I mean, that's, That's He's got a great show. Ray Crumple does a great stuff with the armory type of stuff and you know, products. We have people covering the products, and you know, we kind of hit all of it. So it is really about what you just said. It's really about just you know, finding that niche and trying to make a contribution and having fun with it, and you know,
and hopefully not going poor
while you do it. Right.
Yeah, I've been on Donnie's show several times. I was on yesterday. That just came up today.
Oh, you guys just put one up. Yes, I saw that this morning. Yeah. So will we see you at Gather All Four?
Yes. Yes, indeed. I'll be there.
Excellent. Now, this podcast will very likely come out after Gather All Four. Got a few in the can, even post Gather All Four. Great. I will be there and I will see you there. Really looking forward to catching up with everybody.
Thank you. Great to talk to you, bud.
Thanks. Anything else you want to add before we sign off here?
Well, go to YouTube. Always Say Yes to Adventure. Like, subscribe, comment, all that kind of good stuff. Maybe it'll inspire you to do some crazy stuff like me.
Yeah, get out there, get it done. I love it. Absolutely love your content. So, signing off. This is Bud West with the Bond Brain, and the Bond Brain will return.